We've known for several years that the Army was planning to reduce its active duty and strength from 490,000 soldiers to 450,000. Now we know exactly where those cuts will come from. While the Army says more than 30 bases will be impacted, some will be hit especially hard. Fort Benning, Georgia, and Fort Hood, Texas, will each lose more than 3,000 soldiers. Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Alaska will lose 2,600. Retired Lieutenant General Guy Swan is the Vice President for Education at the Association of the U.S. Army. He joined me to talk about the cuts and what they mean. As you pointed out in your written statement a few days ago, these six-figure digits about active duty and strength are kind of abstract if you're a member of the public without a frame of reference for what's the right number. As far as you can tell, what's the real-world impact of an active duty force of 450?
Well, this stretches the U.S. Army and the forces that it provides support to, because the Army provides a lot of support to the other military services. And 450,000 active duty takes us to a level, frankly, below where the Army was on 9/11.
Yeah, I'm looking at numbers here. 480 is the number I have for 2001. And should we be comforted at all that the impact of those reductions are somewhat mitigated by the fact that we have more contractors and civilians doing jobs that soldiers used to do? So maybe 450 wouldn't hurt as much as it would have in 2001.
We do have a lot of contractors, but I think it's important to remember that the reason we have contractors is because we did not have enough soldiers to accomplish many of the missions. And now in the era of sequestration and budget reductions, even the contractor support is being reduced. So as well as our Department of the Army and Department of Defense civilian workforce, part of the discussion last week of reductions included 17,000 Department of the Army civilian reductions as well.
You made an important point a minute ago, which is that reductions to the active duty Army are not just an Army issue. They also have impacts on the joint force. Describe some of those, as you said, executive agent functions that the Army provides to its sister services.
Yes, this is something that we frankly don't talk enough about when we talk about the U.S. Army. The Army provides a lot of services and support to the other military services and to coalition partners. An example is theater-level logistics. Most of the theater logistics that the Marine Corps gets in Afghanistan or Iraq, for instance, comes through the U.S. Army. Same thing for our British partners or German partners. Most of their logistics will come through the U.S. Army logistics system. And that extends to things like theater communications, intelligence, and medical support. If you're a German soldier in Afghanistan and you get hurt, chances are you'll end up in a U.S. Army hospital.
Hmm. So we have known that these cuts were coming for a couple years now. Now that we've got the actual installation level details, does the location of the cuts and the types of formations involved, the heavy losses at Fort Benning, Fort Hood, Alaska, does any of that tell us anything important about how the Army wants to manage this restructuring?
I think it does. That was a very, very methodical process to decide where those cuts would be taken at the installation level. And there were a lot of factors that went into that, including economic impact on the local community. But a lot of it has to do with retaining forces at bases where we can project them overseas or to crisis locations, where there are training areas to be taken advantage of and so forth. So there's a lot of factors that go into that. And you'll see in some of the bases, things have been reduced, but we're actually holding on to some forces in those bases strictly because they have those infrastructure things that we need.
Speaking of infrastructure, I mean, the Army has talked quite a bit about how the fact they feel that they have too much infrastructure. Now that those existing bases are basically staying intact but with fewer forces in them, does AUSA take a position on whether there should be another BRAC round or some other form of infrastructure consolidation to save some money?
No, Jared. Historically, we have not taken a position on that. We leave that to the Army. I will say, though, from my own personal experience with some of this as a senior commander on some of our installations, We have to be very careful about what we divest in the future, because things like training lands and training areas cannot be recovered once they are divested. So BRAC is a very, very significant emotional activity for the U.S. Army and for the other services, for that matter. But right now, I think the Army is probably going to press forward without a major BRAC. There is not a lot of support on Capitol Hill for BRAC again in the near future.
And based on your experience as a former installation commander, I mean, when you think about a place like Fort Benning or Fort Hood or other very large military-dependent communities, what's the impact of something like this when you, over a period of just a few years, lose, you know, upwards of 3,000 soldiers?
Well, you know, I think it's important to remember, Jared, that not only is that a number of soldiers, but there are family members above and beyond those numbers. So the economic impact to some of these communities is quite significant. Yes, we have these large bases, but the communities outside of those bases are not necessarily that large. And so that exacerbates the economic impact locally.
Certainly, I think we can expect impacts to individual soldiers as well. The Army, I'm sure, will go through involuntary separation boards to accomplish some of this drawdown. What can Army leaders do to blunt the impact of those, you know, as I said, involuntary reductions, and make sure soldiers are taken care of on their way out?
There is a significant effort underway, and has been for several years since sequestration went into effect and the Army could foresee some of these reductions, to ensure that transition programs are in place for those who are maybe asked to leave the service. Up to this point, most of the attrition has been handled by normal retirements and people not wishing to reenlist. I think as we get deeper into these cuts, and there are more coming on top of the ones we saw last week, there will be involuntary separations. But I'm confident that the Army will help those soldiers departing find adequate work, educational opportunities, housing, and so forth.
To that point about further cuts, the Army, I think, has said in the past that they only wanted to go through this whole listening tour and planning process once, rather than studying force structure reductions down to the 420,000 level and doing this all over again. Do we know at this point, or have any indication, if that analysis was actually done and where those cuts would come from? Are there even any guesses at this point?
I don't have any information on that. I do know that unless the sequestration budget process is resolved in the near future, we will see the Army go down to 420,000 active component. And I think it's important to point out, too, that up to this point, the Army's been able to protect the National Guard and Reserve because of their critical roles. But now we're getting down to the point where we are going to have to start taking significant cuts in the reserve components as well.
Congress has known that these cuts were coming for a couple years now, and until now they have not taken any legislative action to block that drawdown. Now that things are a little more real and there's going to be impacts to individual members' districts, would you expect that to change, for them to step in and intervene in some way?
I think that will have some effect, Jared. You know, right now we're on track, the Army's on track to go to 450,000, and the 40,000 cut that was announced last week did get the attention, certainly, of those members of Congress that had bases that were affected. The next time around, it will affect many more constituencies and districts around the country. So I think this is we're reaching a point now where Congress is going to have to act. And our view in the association is that we've taken our ground forces down about as far as we can go without having severe national security impacts. Last week, they announced 40,000 cuts. That mm-hmm. would take us to 450 in the active force. But there were 15,000 also in the National Guard and 10,000 in the reserve that were part of that, that didn't get as much play. And so you're going to end up at the end of 2017 with essentially a 980,000 soldier Army, active guard and reserve. And then that could go even further, you know, with the sequestration numbers. The real point here, I think, that all of us need to remember is the Army is much bigger than just its brigade forces that are in the field. It runs the schools. It does the acquisition. It does the support to the other services. So it's more of a national institution than just a warfighting force.